Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a pleasure to see those of you who are present here in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We do tomorrow at the food pantry are Jan Nelson and Linda Champlin. Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. we have youth group. So it'll be good to see the youth over here once again. You will notice that, or maybe you won't, the carpets are clean. The pews have been cleaned and sanitized. And things are put back together, almost. But at least everything is nice and clean and fresh, so enjoy it. Also, we had a little conversation before worship began today about the food pantry's need for donations. There has been an increased number of people who have been utilizing the food pantry. We do have a container back there that has been used in the past. But what I would like to try here is something that I saw in my church in California. And that is that we get into a habit of trying to bring an item or two each Sunday and have a time when our ushers can collect it and bring it forward in front of the altar before you place it in the bin, just as a reminder that what we give to our neighbor is also a gift to our Lord. So I'll try to remind you to do that. Let's get that started as soon as we can. Does that sound like a plan to you?
Yes.
All right, because they need any sort of canned goods, paper products such as toilet paper, anything like that that you can think of that the people in need might like to have. What would you like to see if you were in need? So consider that the next time you go shopping. Any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, please join in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let's join together in our gathering song, When Morning Gilds the Skies, number 853. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Word of God, word of life. Let us read Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide under your holy hill?
Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take it back their words.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. The second reading is from the first chapter of Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you and to make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone to all in all wisdom, so that we may have present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do we have any children who want to come forward? Or should I just speak to... Oh, good. I'm always glad when I have someone who comes forward.
Let's just have a seat. All the rest of you listen, too. Now, we had a prayer already that said, Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ and you make yourself our guest. Have you ever heard anything like that where we ask Jesus to be our guest? This is a prayer that you can remember somewhere.
Be present.
Close.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. All right, how does that go, everyone?
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed.
Blessed
be God, who is our bread. May all the world be clothed and fed.
Amen. Yes. Before you eat every time at youth group, you pray that prayer, right? So not only the first verse that you all know, but that second verse as well. So we ask, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. What do you think it means to ask Jesus to be our guest? How about you? What do you think it means to ask Jesus to be our guest?
It's a real privilege.
To have him sit at the table.
Well, it's a real privilege.
It's a real privilege. Why is it a real privilege to have him sit at our table?
Because he is our father.
Okay. He is our host as well as our guest, isn't he? Because where do we get everything that we have at the table? From the Lord, exactly. From many people who have done work, but ultimately from God. And so that's why we tend to pray before meals, right? Do any of you pray before meals? I see a hand in the back. I see some hands in the front. It's one of the things that I managed to get my husband in the habit of doing. He remembers doing that, and when we had family gatherings, we would pray. Sometimes his dad, who is no longer with us, loved to say this prayer. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. But a lot of times he was more serious than that. And usually he'd say that, and then we'd go into a more serious prayer. So, do most of you use the Come Lord Jesus be our guest? What do you use instead?
We always do something new and different at every meal, in which we make sure that we praise God.
Okay.
And thank him for all the blessings that are given to us.
All right, so you always praise God for all the blessings, but you do it in your own words, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Do some of the rest of you use your own words too when you pray? Sometimes. Do you use any other standard prayers? I know I grew up with a different prayer. The prayer that I grew up with was, Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so there are a number of standard words that we can use, and there are certainly our own words that we can use. So what I put together, and you can bring this to your parents, and any of the rest of you would like a copy, I have put together some table prayers. So if you'd like to take a look at a different way of praying or be reminded of something familiar, so that when we do ask our Lord to be with us and when we do thank our Lord for everything that we have, we can use these words and we can use some others as well. Yeah? Well, I'll let other people. I've only got 10 copies, but I can make more for anyone who wants them. All right? Thank you so much. As I step all over myself.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, Jesus is on his way toward Jerusalem, preaching, teaching, and healing. He enters an unnamed village where a woman named Martha welcomes her into her home. She goes about her tasks while her sister Mary sits down at Jesus' feet in the posture that disciples take before their teacher, a highly unusual thing for a woman of her day to do, especially when there is work to be done. After some time passes, Martha has had all that she can take. She comes into the room and goes directly to Jesus saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me." Does this sound in the least familiar? Have you ever complained that you are left to do all the work while the person who's supposed to be helping just sits back and does nothing? Okay, I see nods there. Yeah, especially when you have siblings, right? You shouldn't be the one doing all the work. They should be helping you, right? Martha is just so frustrated that she does not go to her sister, but instead directly to Jesus, interrupting whatever is going on. She must know Jesus very well, or she must be accustomed to being in charge, telling others what to do. "Lord, don't you care that I've been left to do all the work myself?" What she's really saying is, "Lord, don't you care about me? Why haven't you sent Mary in already to help me? Can't you see how overwhelmed I am? Don't you think I want to sit down too? I've been working hard all day. Don't you care, Lord? If you cared, you would do something to help me." You will notice that Mary says nothing. No excuses for not helping her sister. No justification for sitting at the master's feet like a male disciple while her sister is doing all the work that needs to be done when there are guests to be served. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her to help me." And how does Jesus respond? "Martha, Martha." Perhaps with a little shake of his head, with a little sigh. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." Well, isn't that the truth? All the things that need to be done to show hospitality to the guests. There is need of only one thing. Only one thing. But there are so many things to be done. The food to be prepared, the water for the foot washing and hand washing, the table to be set, the dishes to be done, the furniture to rearrange. Oh, and is Jesus planning to sleep here? Oh, then a sleeping mat needs to be set and more water for washing. Oh, and what about all those disciples? Is she expected to feed and house all of them too? Oh, so many things to worry about, so much to do. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." I'm sure that Martha was stunned by this response. Not only has Jesus not done what she asked, which was to tell Mary to help her, but he said he will allow her to remain where she is, listening to him and learning from him. The story ends there. We are not told what happens next. Does Martha storm back into the kitchen or wherever she was? What do you think would have happened if she had chosen to sit at Jesus' feet with her sister? Could she have sat for even a minute without wanting to get back up? Would those worries and distractions have kept her from focusing on what Jesus was saying? I think it is interesting that the writer of this gospel chose to place this story after what we heard last week, the story that we frequently call the parable of the Good Samaritan. That was a story about loving and serving the neighbor. The person confronting Jesus in that story knew what the law said, but was seeking to be justified by asking Jesus to define who the neighbor was. It was about listening, but not doing. The story of Mary and Martha appears to be the flip side of the Samaritan story, about doing and not listening. Jesus does not chastise Martha for service. Service is important. It is certainly important to the church, which could not function without people engaged in service. Think of the people engaged in service in order for us to worship. There are bulletins to prepare, the sound system and the camera to operate, music to be played, communion elements to be prepared, hymn numbers to be changed. Think of all it takes to prepare the worship space, banners to be hung, the church to be cleaned, carpets and pews to be shampooed and sanitized. And we wouldn't get through the front door if the lawn weren't mowed and the trees trimmed. And then there are the ones who prepare for our after-worship fellowship by putting on the coffee and bringing the treats. There are those who do the heavy lifting. I was here yesterday when Scott came and put things back in place after the carpet cleaning, and I watched others today in the fellowship hall putting the chairs where they belong. And then there are the ones who do the thousand little things that often go unnoticed. Jesus acknowledges the need for service. But what he's saying is that there is a time for service and a time for being present and listening to God's word. Think of it this way. Imagine that you are putting together a party at your house for someone you love and respect, someone who is incredibly important to you. You would have a lot of things to prepare, dusting and vacuuming and tidying up, food planning and preparation. Now imagine that your guest has arrived. You hear the knock on the door or the ring of the doorbell. You go and you greet the guest. You show that person in the living room, and then you disappear into the kitchen and you stay there preparing the meal. Then you head to the bathroom to make sure it's clean. You put the dog out, then you let the dog in, then you let the dog out, and you mop the floor because the dog is tracked in some mud from the yard. Then you go back to food preparation, all while your guest is sitting there, wanting your company more than anything else. Long ago, when my older daughter was small, she did what little children do, which is to prattle on and on and on and on, talking about whatever came into her head. I remember how I would answer her as I continued to do whatever it was I was doing at the time. Then the day came when she said, "Mommy, you're not listening to me." I said, "Of course I'm listening to you." And she replied, "No, you're not. You're not looking at me." She was right. I wasn't focusing my attention on her. I was too busy, too distracted by all the things I needed to do, too worried about all the work that needed to be done. I wasn't being present with her, showing her that she was the most important thing to me at that moment, even though she was. In the play Our Town, Thornton Wilder told the story of the fictional town of Grover's Corners through the everyday lives of its citizens over a period of a dozen years. We see people fall in love and marry, have children, die. One young woman, Emily, dies in childbirth. She goes to sit with the other deceased members of the town in the cemetery, where they speak with one another. Her mother urges her to forget her life, warning that being able to see but not interact with her family will cause too much pain. Others also warn her to forget her life, but she asks if she can relive one day, just one day. She's told that she can do so, but if she does, she should choose an unimportant day. She decides to relive her 12th birthday. The experience starts out as a joyful one as she watches her parents and some of the others from her childhood, some long gone. But she soon realizes how people rush through life, not really noticing each other. She asks the stage manager if anyone truly understands the value of life while they live it. And he responds, "No. The saints and the poets, maybe. They do some. Because they're the ones who pause." She returns to her place and then watches impassively as her husband kneels down and weeps over her grave. everyday life offers so many distractions. And many of them are good, useful distractions. The problem is when the good distracts us from the better, from the more important. Martha's problem is that she's taken her attention off the one thing that is important. Instead, she has turned inward, thinking of herself and how overworked and tired and frustrated she is. She has let her service take priority over the one being served. In trying to show hospitality, she has failed to give her guest what he really needs, which is not her service, but herself. We all live hurried lives. Just before worship, I made the mistake of checking my email and found myself calendaring 2 more meetings next month. We're all busy. But what we need to remember is to pause throughout the day and to remember that God is present in our lives regardless of what activity we happen to be involved in. As the prayer of the day reminds us, we seek to be attentive to God's presence amid the cares of our lives, treasuring God's word above all else. You may want to consider beginning your day by focusing on the most important relationship that you have, your relationship with God, and simply saying, "Good morning, God." Try it for the next week, having your first words in the morning not be of concern for the day, but simply, "Good morning, God." How might acknowledging God's presence in our day-to-day activities change our attitude toward what we are doing? Can we engage in acts of service not merely out of a sense of obligation, but out of genuine love for God and for neighbor? And when you sit down at a meal, acknowledge that God is present there too. When you say those words, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest," think about what you're saying and what it means. And think about those words of praise and thanksgiving. And remember who is important. Remember that one thing. There is need of only one thing: to keep our eyes and our ears and our heart on Jesus. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn of the day, "Be Thou My Vision," number 793. together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. Ever-present God, in Christ you fill all things. As your Church gathers to hear your word, share your meal, and receive your blessing, teach us to welcome strangers as we have been welcomed by you. God of grace, hear our prayer. Through Christ you created all things, visible and invisible. Teach humankind to honor and protect all creation, including living things that remain hidden from our eyes, such as air, atmosphere, molecules, and microscopic creatures. God of grace, hear our prayer. Through Christ you reconcile all things. Motivate those in power to end enslavement, dehumanization, or brutality of any kind, and to protect and improve the lives of indigenous people. God of grace, hear our prayer. Through Christ you bring peace. Assure all who are worried and distracted by many things of your constant presence. Soothe those suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Sustain all who are afflicted and those who serve as caregivers. God of grace, hear our prayer. In Christ, you make your word fully known. Inspire this worshiping community to abide fully in your word as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Bless the ministry of teachers and Bible study leaders. God of grace, hear our prayer. In Christ you brought forth the firstborn from the dead. We give thanks for the saints you have gathered at your table. Gather us with them in your eternal glory. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also
let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for sending your offering to the church or giving through online banking. Let us join together in our offertory, Jesus, the Very Thought of You. It is number 754, verse 2. Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Thank you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God. You are the flesh of the human power, our gift of life and love.
In your mercies, strengthen us to this gift.
In faith toward you, and in a firm love with one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the blessing. As we go out into the world, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Let us sing our ascending song, Lord, I lift your name on high. It's number 857.